The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Let's just say they kept it in their pants this time.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. It's been a busy one, Vin.
I've loved this week.
It's been mental, hasn't it, when you think about it?
It's like being going back to the noughties.
All your favourite stuff as well.
Yeah.
I know that you're a massive fan. I am too, actually. Great to have Foles back with a new double album, isn't it? And Yanis and Jimmy didn't let us down when he came in.
Yeah, it's an absolute tune, that new single, Exits.
Yeah, oh, it's huge, isn't it? It's huge. There's a lot in store with them, isn't there?
Yes. They're one of the best live bands you can see, I think.
Well, we're both in agreement about that, aren't we? I saw them at Royal Albert Hall. Must be about 3 or 4 years ago. It's really special.
Yeah, they make you do things, don't they?
Yeah, what was it we were saying? Yeah, they equally at home in a dance venue as they are in a rock and roll venue.
Yeah, totally.
It's a real compliment, that, I think, for a band. So you've got them on the Evening Show podcast. You'll also hear from Sam Fender, a man on the rise. He's Brit's Critics' Choice winner. He's a great character as well, isn't he?
He came and recorded some session tracks for us, but it was a great chat as well, wasn't he?
He's like a young Andy Carroll.
He told a story about a fight in a nightclub, and he was rolling around on the floor as he told it.
I wish we had it filmed, actually, didn't we? His mate Jack Matheson making a guest appearance. He's now going to become famous as a result of that. And on top of that, a double dose of Vampire Weekend for you, who are also back, and it sounds like they've got a double album up their sleeve as well. We had Ezra on the show, didn't we?
It sounds pretty intense, doesn't it, that album? Yeah. Pretty heavy, pretty dense, yeah.
First time we've spoken, actually, and done a proper interview. The last time I saw him, he was in the back of an ambulance with the drummer after a hit and run in London.
Yeah, moving on.
So we've got that and a classic album. We looked at Contra, which was that 9 years now, Finn?
Something like that.
Amazing work. And you know what? They come at things from a totally different angle than any other band,
yes,
I reckon.
Totally.
And fair play to them. Sounding fresh and original in this era is not easy, and they've cracked it. So there you go, a bit of Vampire Weekend, Sam Fender and Foles. Can't say fairer than that. Enjoy the Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Absolutely thrilled to say that Foles are back. It's been 3 years, and like buses, not one has come along at the same time, but two, just a little bit delayed. Jimmy and Yanis, thank you very much for joining us tonight, lads.
Thank you.
Look at the intimidation is here. They're back. They've got something to tell us all about. But it's great to see you. You know, you're getting yourselves right back into this moment. It sounds to me, from what I've heard, that you've got something very, very special up your sleeve on this album. A lot of people talking about it. How does it feel for both of you at this stage?
Very exciting today. Really exciting. I mean, it all starts today, right?
Yeah.
First single out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we feel like probably the most excited we've felt for a while. Like, yeah. I think that we feel like we've had this like kind of this great thing that we've been keeping secret for a while, and as we've been working on it, we've been like a couple of times in the recording process we were like, oh man, can't wait for people to hear this, and like we're basically on the brink of that day today, so like it's going to be great, and we just can't wait for people to hear all of the first record and all of the second, you know. So
this is, I heard you describe it beautifully, Yanis, as a locket. So there are sort of two halves to this, part one and part two. So the album's called, let me get this absolutely right, Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost, part one and part two.
Yeah.
Good, I'm getting this right.
Yeah.
So, you know, part one is on its way. Why did that come first and why not the other one? And why is there the gap between the two?
Those are good questions. I don't... Well, basically... we had this raft of material. So we had 20 tracks. Yeah. And once we had decided to do it as two records, then we went about sequencing it as well as possible. So that both records are great individual works in their own right. And then I think that we just felt like... I don't know, the one that's coming out in March is the one that just feels better first, basically. Yeah. Well, but...
Yeah, I mean, it made sense because we ended up with, like... You know, because we tried to track list a 17-track album, which was a nightmare. And we realised there were, like, songs that were paired and there was kind of two or several different moods going on. And it's like, when you actually separated them onto two records, you'd give each song, like, their right habitat, basically.
Yeah. Two better cohesive records.
Yeah,
rather than one casserole of nonsense.
and as soon as we thought about doing it, then it was too exciting not to do it.
So does this count as album number five, or is it five and six? Do you think
it's...
Well,
technically it's five and six.
Five and six, so the record label it's just five.
Right. You're giving them a little advantage there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I quite like the name of it as well. So the literal thing can affect any sort of musician or artist, imagine. So if everything isn't saved, it could be lost. But there's a bigger meaning to this as well. About the planet and the environment as well. Is that right?
Definitely, yeah. Because it's from like a Nintendo save screen, and I came across the phrase like about maybe a year or two ago. And at first, you're like, oh, it's got... I mean, I think what everybody likes about it is that it's got this like this depth to it, but it just comes from Nintendo, and it's meant it's just something kind of boring. But like you're saying, yeah, definitely with the environment. And even just with us making music, it was just kind of like every idea that doesn't get used, we probably won't ever come back to. So that's part of the, in a weird way, it propelled us in the making of the record without kind of even knowing it, because we wanted to complete everything that we started, which is why we ended up with so much music.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense suddenly. Yeah. Now, if you think about the 3 years that you've been away making this, it's been an incredible time for the world. And this sort of conversation happens a lot with artists at the moment when they come in to see us. So, you know, we've had violence and combat sports from vaccines and editors, and it does seem to be quite a lot of heavy and serious music. But when I listen to the stuff we've heard so far, it does actually feel quite upbeat.
Yeah.
So is there an upbeat and sort of optimistic side to this album as well?
Definitely, I think. Yeah. It's like... yeah, we didn't want it to be too depressing.
Yeah.
It could have gone that way,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think like the themes are obviously fairly... some of them are fairly serious, but definitely in terms of the music, the actual instrumentation, we want it to be as fun and pleasurable as it possibly can.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely not a depressing lesson. I think we just wanted to just write great stuff and feel like that's what we've done, so...
Something we always say about Foals is that you seem just as comfortable in fabric as you do in an alley pally. So, you know, you can, yeah, in the words of LCD, sort of dance yourself clean with your music as well.
Yeah.
I mean, is that something you thought about writing this as well? You know, where does the music belong?
Well, we've always had that, I think, from the very beginning. Like, we started off trying to make techno music with guitars.
Yeah.
So we made dance music before we made any other type of music, really. Yeah. So it's, I think we feel true to ourselves keeping hold of that. You know, like, no matter like where we go musically, as long as we carry that with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, personally, I'm not a great dancer, but, you know, some people like dancing.
I can see the tour dates as well, and it all makes sense as well. We'll talk about them in just a second. But for the very first time on Radio X, we're going to give this a play, and we love it already. We think it's outstanding. What a return from Foals. This is Exits on Radio X from the new album from Foals.
Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Absolutely massive for the very first time on Radio X. That is Exits from Foals. Boys, it's outstanding. Brilliant. I'm not going to blow too much smoke up your backside, but yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
Nice one.
It's weird hearing it for the first time when it's played out in radio. I mean, who's the first person as a band that you trust? Whose ears do you trust most?
That's a good question.
Well, I guess outside of whoever's working on the record.
Yeah.
Because normally there's smoke coming out of there, it is.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Outside of that world, who is it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know. My cat hears stuff before anyone else and usually just sort of walks out of the room.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
We do have some friends we play stuff to, like in the neighbourhood. And then some people at the label. Mm. But generally, we kind of feel like between us, we have a good gauge of if it's good or not, because we can be quite harsh critics of it.
Of your own material, yeah. Talk us through that experience then, when you play it for the first time to those friendly faces. You know, what's that? Because I find it incredibly nerve-wracking when somebody plays me their music for the first time. But it must be pretty odd for you boys as well to do that.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking as well, because you just want everyone to say it's amazing and then not have a problem with it. And you kind of, you know, normally when you play someone new music, you talk over the whole song. Start explaining bits. Like, yeah. No,
it's usually late at night as well.
Like, something's going to kick in now. Like, you know, it's a bit boring, this bit. Something's coming up.
Yeah.
You know.
You micro-analyse that. I find like I analyse people's facial tics and stuff as they're listening to the track. You know, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
But it's definitely usually late at night. I think it's always after the pub when I've decided to play stuff.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm looking at these tour dates as well, which are outstanding. So the O2 Victoria Warehouse, Manchester on the 11th of June. Is that the first night, or will there be a couple of warm-ups before you get into this?
There's some shows.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of shows.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then the one that stands out for me is SWG3 up in Glasgow, which is an amazing sort of warehouse venue. Like, we're talking about a fabric, that's like a Glaswegian equivalent. Now, what are the ones that, when they're announced, you start to get excited about? Because obviously Ali Pally is a huge sort of, you could call it a homecoming gig in a way.
We definitely wanted to, with this tour, like, take it into some places that we hadn't played before, because I think it's quite easy to get locked into the same cycle of the same venues. And obviously we've done Ali Pally before, but on the last main tour and what went down, we did more arena type stuff. Which was great, but I think this time we wanted to go back to like basically all standing venues and just like make it proper and tense and really feral. We're playing some forests, I think. Thetford Forest.
A couple of forests.
Eat a couple of acorns.
Hope the weather's good.
So, one of the conversations we had with a band recently was about when you're writing something new, it's sometimes good to restrict yourself with equipment or buy something new.
Both.
Is that a philosophy that you adhere to or something you do as well?
Yeah. I think you have your trusted equipment, which probably you've had with you the whole time, you know. And then you can treat yourself to a few trinkets.
I treated myself quite a few trinkets.
A load of useless pedals.
Right.
Yeah. I think some of them I never used. Yeah. Or like once.
Where did that Ogre pedal go?
Oh, I gave that away.
Yeah, that was a shocker, that one.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Absolutely delighted to tell you that we have Ezra from Vampire Weekend by the marvels of modern technology. How are you doing, Ezra?
I'm good.
Excellent. Could you set the scene, please, for our listeners? Where are you in the world right now? Just talk us through it. Paint the picture.
I'm sitting in the living room in Los Angeles, California. Early.
I can tell you, Ezra, we're in London. It's snowing here. So,
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've won a watch there. You're in much better conditions, I think.
Oh, man. I miss snow. As a true East Coaster, I need to see some snow. So hopefully I'll be in London soon.
So, Ezra, you said to me this is the first time you've done a FaceTime interview, showing how long it's been, 6 years since the last album. A lot has changed in those 6 years.
No, yeah, it's true. Yeah, the last time our last album came out in 2013, so truly a generation has passed.
Do you know what? The last time, Ezra, I had any Vampire Weekend dealings was outside a hotel in London, and your drummer got run over in front of me in a hit and run.
Oh, God. Yes. That was around the time of the first album. That was scary. He and I were the only ones out, so I went with him in the ambulance to the hospital, and that was a freaky start. But he was ultimately fine.
I mean, that was my question: is he okay? Is he completely recovered from all that?
Oh yeah, that was a solid. Yeah, I guess that was a decade ago, if you can believe that.
Yeah, it was 2008.
That was a decade. Wow.
Yeah, amazing time. So, listen, we're really excited about this. I think last May you said the album was 94.5% done. So, how hard was the last 5 or 6% to get it finished over the line?
In some ways, it's the hardest part. And maybe in the future I won't try to be so numeric about it, because clearly it's wrong. But the end, a lot of these songs... If I played you the earliest demo, you would probably see most of the ideas in there. The basic structure, the palette, whatever. And then, I don't know what happens the next 18 months. We just go insane. Worrying about snare drum sounds and EQing the vocals and redoing this and redoing that. And then, I don't know. So I think most musicians feel that way a little bit. Like, the initial burst of enthusiasm comes out of nowhere. And it's amazing. You wrote something, you're excited. And you're like, you play it for people, and they're like, this sounds like it's almost done. And then the hard part starts, the little details, and that's the part that drives us crazy.
Would you do us the honor of introducing the first song that we're going to hear then? Harmony Hall, what's it all about? Tell us the story.
Ooh, it's a 5-minute song, so it's a little bit hard to wrap up, but I can say that Harmony Hall is, I've been working on it for a long time. The initial lyrics go back quite a ways. It's this song, in some ways it's kind of the story that, at least musically, it's the story of a piano part and a guitar riff that I wrote separately and kind of jammed together. You'll hear there's this kind of Baroque piano breakdown in the middle that's kind of a nod to early Vampire Weekend, and that's something I wrote a really long time ago, and I could never quite finish the song, and then I kind of started to do the chords in a more housey way, and that felt cool, but that didn't feel like the whole song. And then finally I wrote this guitar riff, just kind of noodling on an acoustic guitar, boom, ba ba da 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 da, and then finally, that's when it all clicked together, and it became kind of like this weird epic song with like a lot of different parts and a lot of different people playing on it. There's like some little electric guitar moments at the end. That's our friend Dave Longstreth and Dirty Projectors plays. Just a lot of people came through. This kind of classic guitarist Greg Lees plays the guitar solo, which is something that I wrote but could not play. And I don't know, it's so this song, it I think lyrically it tells like a very specific story, but all the music took a while to bring together. So you'll hear a lot of different elements, but hopefully it all comes together to be one story.
Excellent stuff, Ezra. Well, we think it's worth waiting for. Here we go. This is Vampire Weekend. They are back after 6 years. This is Harmony Hall on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I've still got Ezra with me from Los Angeles. It's very early over there, so we appreciate it, Ezra. Mornings aren't great for rock stars, are they?
I don't know if it has anything to do with rock, but I've never been a morning person. Good never.
Man. Good man. Well, you're a man after our heart as well. Now, listen, the album's called FOTB. Would you shed any light on what that stands for?
Well, now I can say it. I mean, we weren't trying to be all super mysterious, but now the we put out some videos and the people will see at the end the album title. It's called Father of the Bride.
Right. Okay. And can I twist your arm to tell us a little bit more about the Father of the Bride? Is this somebody that exists in one of the band members' lives?
No.
Okay. Okay. It's not Steve Martin.
It's a tribute to Mr. Steve Martin, the legendary actor. Well, the truth is, of course, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, when the phrase came up, I'm thinking about Steve Martin, although there's also the Spencer Tracy version, yes. The black and white one, with Elizabeth Taylor, too. And I, basically, I think every Vampire Weekend phrase, I always like it when there's, like, a kind of a funny, dumb layer and then something beneath the surface. So for me, Father of the Bride, I was like, it made me think of the comedy and kind of goofy and like, you know, the hijinks of that movie. But then the more I thought about the phrase, it also kind of reminds me of like something biblical. And there's like this there's something like almost ominous about the father of the bride. So anyway, I don't want to give away too much. I think when people hear the record, they'll hear the different layers, but it's just one of those phrases that the more I thought about it, the more I liked it.
I like the holding title as well, Mitsubishi Macchiato. That had a bit of a ring to it.
Yeah, we might have to call something else Mitsubishi Macchiato.
Yeah.
I just felt like the Mitsubishi Macchiato, it helped with a few of these songs. I think there's definitely some Mitsubishi Macchiato energy in Harmony Hall.
Yeah.
But not the whole album, so you'll see.
It's a great vocal warm-up for you, Mitsubishi Macchiato.
Exactly.
One of the things we talk about quite often with bands is about either restricting yourself with equipment or buying something new to inspire new music. Where are you in the grand history of Vampire Weekend? Are you at a point where you've got so much equipment now you have to strip it back? Or are you still in the mood where you buy something to get those juices flowing?
Well, I have a very specific scenario in which, say, with the producers I work with, say, Ariel Rechscheid, who produced most of the album, he has an amazing home studio filled with, he's the type of dude who's always busting out a vintage pedal, or he has, you know, old school Moog synthesizers and cool stuff. So at his house, it's like the candy store and everything's there. At my house, I have an unplugged electric guitar, which is the only thing that I play at home. I drive everybody crazy, because, you know, an unplugged electric guitar doesn't sound that good.
No.
So I'm just like, everybody in the house is just like, you know, I'm just like shredding. I'm just like running scales on this all the time. You know, it doesn't even sound that good. But there's something to me about that kind of, it's like, I don't know, that I don't know if that's like the guitarist equivalent of like being a monk. You don't have anything. All you have is an unplugged electric. So I like that duality.
Yeah.
Because you're right, sometimes I get inspired just seeing something at his house, but at home, I'm just playing on this unplugged electric, just like when I was 10, you know?
Excellent stuff. Now, Ezra, are you okay to hang around just a little bit longer? One more little question for you in a second.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Foles, Mountain at My Gates, an absolutely massive track. One of my favourites live as well. I think I've seen that at Albert Hall and lost my mind to it, which was brilliant. Thank you very much for that, lads. That's what it's about with Foles, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, good to have the boys in, Jimmy and Yanis, here back with a new album. So the new album's coming, lads. It's been 3 years, 10 years as a band together. In preparation for today, I listened to your albums back to back, and it's pretty mad hearing you grow up on record. What's it like for you listening back through your material and seeing how you've developed as musicians and people, I suppose?
I think it depends on the day. I think, like, I mean, I don't go back, and I don't think any of us go back and listen that much.
Yeah.
And usually, when you do, I think at this stage, like when we go back, it's pleasantly surprising. I definitely find that most of the time, like listen back and have forgotten a certain track, and then like I texted you a while ago about, I went back and listened to Holy Fire and Stepson sounded great.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, in general, you're like, oh, actually, we haven't just sat around for 10 years. Because sometimes you forget that we've put out as many records.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Antidote sounds, at least for me, like I can't recognise my voice in it because my voice has changed so much.
A different accent.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's like sort of, yeah, chimney sweep vibe on Antidote.
Cockney chimney sweep. Yeah.
It's great to hear how it's developed, and you know, I can't wait to see these shows, this new music performed live as well. We were trying desperately to remember when we saw you at Glastonbury, between me and producer Vim, we just couldn't put it back together. There are so many special shows, right? Like I say, the Royal Albert Hall for us was amazing.
Yeah.
But I want to know more about the gigs that have gone horribly wrong for Foles, because it always looks perfect when I see it, and we ask a lot of bands about their worst gigs. So would you mind sharing one that didn't go to plan?
I mean, there's some early on where like the sound was terrible and I got frustrated. I kicked my amp in, broke my toe, and then had to play the remainder of the set with a swollen sort of club foot vibe going on. That was Carlisle.
That's when you couldn't tell the difference between your guitar and your loop pedal.
Yeah, because it's too mamash.
That was really early on.
I don't know. Like, I think it's been some power cuts and stuff like that.
We had to start a song again halfway through,
and that was a bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah. We played on a solar-powered stage once in San Francisco, and there was a cloud, it just cut out. That was a bit of a bummer.
It was a couple of British bands have told us that about having sun cream applied to their faces during American gigs.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we got scorched. Yeah,
yeah, like festival slots mid-afternoon.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not made for touring bands at all, is it?
It should usually be after dark, really.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask, just while you're here, about Slash Gordon. I'm writing a book, terrible pun, it's toilet reading, about the most famous person you've bumped into in the bathroom and had a conversation with. Is there a good Foles bathroom story that I can add to the collection?
Is there Rodriguez?
Plenty, I think.
Yes.
Oh, Rodriguez.
That's a good one.
No
right?
way! As in
that
Rodriguez.
Was Walter. No, that was there as well.
Yeah, he sort of fell into
that was embarrassing. Yeah, me and our old bass player, Walter. were having a pee at a urinal, I think.
Jules Holland.
Was it Jules Holland?
Was it Jules Holland. Yeah. And Rodriguez was on the show.
Yeah, and he sort of chose, there was like a whole line of free urinal, you know, basin things, and he went right in between me and Walter. And I caught Walter looking at his chap. Which he denies, but he did. And then Rodriguez sort of fell into the urinal.
And Walter had to help him
out. Yeah. It's a bit of a sad ending. But
great story.
He went on to do a fantastic song.
Yeah,
he did.
But Tom Jones.
That's good.
Met Tom Jones.
Oh, we could have a Foles chapter.
He delighted in someone breaking wind. I remember that. And then he looked at himself in the mirror and was just like, still got it. he was great.
That's pretty well. Giannis, we'll save yours for the next time.
Next time for me.
Giannis, just want to wish you all the best, really. It's so exciting to have you back. Cannot wait to hear more of the music. What you've given us so far, I've got to be honest, we played it an awful lot listening to it before we had the show tonight. So what a return. Great stuff, boys. All the very best.
Thanks
Jimmy
so much.
And Giannis from Foles.
Nice. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
We have got the presence of a Geordie in the studio. Not any Geordie, the Brits Critics' Choice. The one and only, Samuel, I'm going to go, what is Sam short for? Sambert Fender.
Sambert.
Sam, nice to meet you. How you doing?
It's Samuel, actually. I am a Samuel. But
Call you Samuel?
Only when I'm in trouble, off me mum, I think.
Right.
Or my dad used to jokingly go like, Samuel Thomas Fender, when I was in... Proper, like when I'd really, really messed up.
Yeah. Well, Sam, it's good to see you because you were meant to pop in and see us before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And you lost your voice.
Aye.
Now, here's the question, Samuel Fender. Did you lose the voice because you were singing too much or because you were ripping the wrapper off it, my friend?
I'll be deadly honest with you. I was doing really well at looking after my voice, and I'm really, like, pretty religious with it. I don't drink, I don't anything like that in the world. But it was after the Brit Award got announced.
Right.
And I went and, And had a little celebration.
Right, yeah. Just a couple of light ales.
But it was like drinking on the plane, sort of crack to the gig.
Yeah.
Thinking it would be okay.
Oh, mate, it was a special one to miss out on
It was a up all night jobby.
Good lad.
Going onto the plane with the airport lagers.
Yeah.
And then and then turning up to the sound check and basically just having a breakdown, knowing that I couldn't sing. And so I'll never do that again. It was very, very unprofessional.
Learning the lessons early on, Sam. Yeah, that's very, the key, isn't it?
I'll never do that again.
I'm trying to think about Geordie success stories, right?
You know, Sting.
Who is your Geordie god? Is it Sting, Jimmy Nail, Anton Deck, Alan Shearer?
I was reading, there's loads. Anton Deck's obviously the one that everyone knows, and Shearer. But Sting's, a lot of people don't know Sting. That's mad. Like, a lot of people are. When I talk down here and speak to people in London, they're all like, oh, Sting's actually a Geordie. I mean, it's probably because he half the time doesn't have a Geordie accent. He turns it on when he needs it, though. But when he sees a Geordie, it's straight back to Wall's End.
How many of them have you met then? Have you had the showbiz tap on the shoulder?
I've not really. The only person who I've met who's kind of related, linked to Newcastle's Matty Healy.
Oh yeah, from 1975.
His parents are.
Yeah, Denise Welsh and Tim Healy.
He like judged the competition that I was in when I was 16.
Right.
Before the 1975 or the 1975, they were called Drive Like I Do or something like that. And he was the judge. It was a Teenage Cancer Trust competition for like music and performing, and me and my band won. Right.
Yes.
And he was one of the judges. I remember he was a secret smoker, and so was I at the time.
But you've given that up now, haven't you? Just for the benefit of your mum and
I have. Floor.
It's great to hear of a Geordie doing brilliantly in music, because I think I've heard your name mentioned an awful lot because you gigged hard, didn't you? That's your mum on the phone.
Ever so sorry. That's me, mate, Jack Matheson.
Get Jack on.
Can I?
Yeah, get Jack on.
Oh, Jack. You all right? No, I'm not in the studio. I'm actually on an interview at Radio X right now.
Get Jack on.
Should I get him on?
Jack. Put him on speakerphone.
Right, Jack, you're going on speaker. You were on a Radio X interview. You're on speaker.
Oh, what?
Jack, are you in North Shields at the moment?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
What are you looking for Sam for?
I was just going to pop down the studio and say hello and have a coffee and that.
Ah, good. You're going to get a brew on. Good man, Jack. How do you know him then?
I've known him since school. We used to sit and like together and basically just take the mic.
Right. So tell us this, and what was Sam like when he was at school?
Probably just like the rest of it. Just a bit of a joker, you know, but right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's a question for you, Jack. What's the most trouble Sam got in when you were teenagers at school?
I don't know if I want to air that on
there. Jack was worse than me, to be honest.
I think I'd be in a lot of trouble. I was probably a lot worse, like, but I've just said that on the radio, so...
Here's another question for you, Jack. Is Sam any good at football? Because I hear that he thinks he's pretty handy.
I'm just going to say absolutely not.
I'm the worst footy player on the planet. Like. Right.
The Andy Carroll of music.
Oh, horrendous, man.
Excellent. Jack, lovely to speak to you.
Lovely to speak to you, Jackson. I'll give you a bell when this is done.
Wait,
see you later, son. Bye.
Oh, fantastic.
Well,
absolutely. I'm going to play God right now. Yeah. I think it's an absolutely beautiful song. We talked about this when we heard it for the first time. That requires quite a lot of confidence, I think, as an artist to record that.
Yeah.
Because it's you're exposed. It's just you and your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you describe yourself as a confident person, or did it take a lot of metal to kind of pluck up the courage to perform a song like this?
Not really, you know. Like, with Play God, it was kind of... actually, you know, strange thing about that song was I wrote it and I didn't actually think that it was fitting with all of the stuff that I'd been working on. So I wasn't even going to show it to my manager. We were actually working on an EP, which never happened at the time, like years ago. And he was like, have you got anything else just before we go with the tracks that we've got? He's like, I think we're happy with them. And I was like, I've got this little song. And it was Play God. And they were like, scrap the EP. We'll just go with that.
It's absolutely beautiful, Sam. What a cracking tune.
Thanks, man.
Lovely stuff. This is Play God, recorded live right here under the roof at Radio X by Mr. Sam Fender.
You look like an old
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's the beautiful Play God by Sam Fender, the Brits Critics' Choice winner and a lovely Geordie man. How are you, Sam?
Hello, mate.
Yes, nice one. Now, you're doing your tour dates in May.
Yes.
And now, you must have seen, for a younger man, you've seen an awful lot of the country. Any particular favourite places to visit out of the back of getting up and down doing these gigs?
We've had really good shows in Exeter, really? Mint. Bristol was really good.
Yeah.
Glasgow's really good.
Yeah.
Glasgow's rowdy. And what I love about Glasgow is if they like you, you know it. If they don't like you, you know it.
You really know it.
If you're having a bad day, they'll let you know.
Yeah, right?
And I love that. I love that honesty. And it's quite similar with Newcastle, I suppose.
Yeah.
Newcastle, obviously.
Yeah, home turf.
Gotta love the hometown.
Now, Sam, would you help me out with a book I'm writing at the moment? It's called Slash Gordon, right? Terrible pun. Toilet reading. Oh, and it's based on famous encounters when you're in the bathroom and you happen to bump into somebody well-known. Right. Have you got a story that I can put into the book? Have you found yourself in the last 6 months, maybe in Brit's Business or playing a show, where you found yourself having an awkward conversation with a well-known face?
In the toilet?
Yeah.
Does it have to be...
You can run with it.
Does it have to specifically be in the toilet?
You run with it if you want, Sam. Even unusual encounters would work.
I've had like people reach out to us in contact. I've had some relatively famous people go on then. To us.
What's the one that kind of made you stop and go, wow, this is really happening now?
I was on Sam Smith the other day.
Wow, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's been really nice.
Yeah.
Because I had a bit of worries about obviously the old vocal thing. Yeah, he's been really good. Good chat. And Elton John.
Wow. So how does Elton John get in touch with you?
Virus management.
Yeah.
I've still got to meet him, like, because we've had the old chat on the blower on the FaceTime and that. But I hope to meet him soon. I think I'm trying to think of something funny that's happened.
Oh,
Doctor Who and Robson Green.
Robson Green.
Alright, so
Soldier.
So the Robson Green one was Robson Green. I haven't met him, but it was a funny story because the young lad who's in this TV show with him, he's Tom Brittany, he's called, he's Natter, and he contacted, basically his girlfriend contacted because she wanted to get tickets for his gig. So I got them in the gig, but I said, only if you bring Robson Green. Because I was like, I'll get you into the show if you bring your co-star Robson Green, because Robson Green is one of my heroes. And I said, and Extreme Fishing is the best TV show.
Oh mate, he was brilliant in Casualty as
well. I
was
like, to grace the surf, you know, was Extreme Fishing. I love Extreme Fishing. It's what I watch on tour, class. And so he didn't get them to come, so I was pretty gutted. But however, they got a Twitter. There's a Twitter video of Robson Green listening to my song That Sound, and he's just going like, that sound, it's a good sound. And he's like Sam Fender. He's like, it was the most surreal moment of my life.
It's surreal, isn't it?
It was so good.
Did you also meet the Time Lord at some point?
Yes, I met Doctor Who, Matt Smith, outside of my gig in London. Now, half of my family, it was very strange because my dad's side of the family are all like, well, yeah, like Geordie, you know what I mean? Like, love the footy. Straight down the Geordie, like, dead normal. And then my mum's side of the family are all, like, God-fearing Christian Doctor Who fans, which is is very, very...
I can see how that happened.
It's a bit of a juxtaposition that, like, sci-fi and Jesus doesn't really go well together. But they love Doctor Who. And so, obviously, I panicked because I was just like... And went over and really, really, really made a fool out of myself.
Listen.
It was the first time I'd ever been over to like some celebrity and be like, can I get a photo with you, please? And he was like, he kept going, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, and then yeah. But he was lovely, like, he was really nice. And then he did a drawing, I had a Radio Times or something like that. He opened it up and did a sketch. So I've got a sketch by Matt Smith.
Tell you what, Sam, we're learning a lot about you. Extreme fishing, a copy of Radio Times under his arm. Great.
I don't know why I had it. No, it wasn't. It was someone gave us a copy of Music Week. We stand there. I went, can you sign something? And then they just went, whoosh, and then and then he quickly did a doodle.
I'll just pretend that happened in the toilet, and that'll fit in Slash.
No, that happened in the toilet. Yeah.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah, we were having a wee.
That's official.
While he was doing a sketch.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Ezra from Vampire Weekend is with us. He's in Los Angeles at the moment, and we're excited about the new album FOTB, which is coming soon, hopefully. Now, Ezra, I have to ask you one thing. I've seen you play some amazing gigs in the last 10 years or so. I've seen some horrible stuff as well, like the drummer getting run over. But would you share the worst gig Vampire Weekend have played? I'm not interested in the best ones. One of the gigs that's gone horribly wrong.
Well, there's one that I'm sure it's not that bad in retrospect, but there... In the early days, I have some memory that it might have been probably not too distant from that time, when, you know, the early days of the album, of the first album, where I think we had to drive from Berlin to Belgium, which is a really long drive. you know, Berlin is so shockingly far east when you actually look at a map.
Yeah.
So I have this memory of kind of like, we were, and this is when we were still in just like a little van. And, you know, I think this happens to a lot of American bands. You're so excited to be in Europe at first. And then there's like a turning point where you're kind of like, oh, you know what? I honestly, I'd truly rather be in anywhere at home. And so, you know, you just, maybe you're in Berlin, go out to some clubs. It's exciting. And then you're just like, you know, in the car for hours, a little hungover. And everybody was kind of like, oh. Then we finally got to Belgium, played some small show. We were opening for somebody. And I just remember it was just like very embarrassing because we were also out of it. And then whatever CT counted in for the first song, there was some confusion about if we were opening with Mansard Roof or like A-Punk or something. And he just counted in and like half the band came in with one, half the band came in with the other. And it was just like, you know, it was just like the perfect metaphor for kind of feeling like ready to be gone.
Yeah.
You know, just in Brussels, kind of like, it was just a bad vibe. And, you know, it's one thing to have a funny mistake in the middle of a show that's going well.
Yeah.
To open with the two wrong songs is just like, that sets the tone, you know, so that was a pretty bad one.
Well, as we sit here right now, we're probably looking ahead to more fun and games tour in Europe at some point, Ezra. I'd imagine it'll be a little bit different this time around, right? Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will. Listen, Ezra, thanks so much for your time. Cannot wait to hear the full album, and we'll see you in Britain soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
Good man. Take care, Ezra.
Have a good one. Bye.
Good man. There he is, Ezra from Vampire Weekend, all the way from Los Angeles today. The new album, FOTB, is on the way. I cannot wait to hear about it.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Sam Fender's here, the Jordy Bruce Springsteen. You'll be happy with that nickname, won't you?
I don't think I'm worthy of it, to be honest with you.
Could be worse. They could have been the new Jimmy Nail.
I'll go on with Springsteen. No disrespect to Jimmy, because Jimmy's some boy, but no, I'm going to stick with Springsteen.
Crocodile Shoes was a tune.
Aye.
I used to love Spender as well.
Spender.
Right, I want to ask you another question. Never mind all these brilliant gigs that you're playing and all this adulation and smoke that's being blown up your backside. I want to know about the worst gig you played, Sam Fender. One night where it went horribly wrong and you still wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat about.
It's been a few funny things that happened. I mean, the probably the worst gig I did and was last year, was the last gig I did last year when my voice gave out, so I do feel bad. That's not really funny, so I'm not going to talk about that one.
Right, okay.
That was awful. but it's all good now. The good gigs, I think, well, the bad gigs. There was one in Edinburgh, right?
Right.
I was like halfway through the tune, I was rabbiting on, talking rubbish into the mic, and I dropped my guitar, the strap disconnected, guitar dropped, but it didn't just hit on the floor, it hit the overdrive in all my pedals, so all the pedals turned on, which made it go like, like that, and the whole crowd go like,
jeez.
And then I had to like really, like I had to come back from that basically, pick it back up, awkwardly try and start, that was awful. There's a few of them. There's probably the worst gig I had was when I invited me three. I had me four best mates from school. Jack Matheson's one of them, but he wasn't there that day.
The famous Jack Matheson.
But my mate Jimmy Lane, who is the most notorious out of all of our friends.
He sounds like a rascal.
Jimmy Lane is he's a proper terror. Like he's a terror. And he turned up. He's a weapon. That's the only way to describe him. He's just a weapon. Yeah. And so he turned up absolutely off his chops at Leeds. Yeah. And as I was playing the gig, every time I stopped the song, he was just standing there giving us the fingers, just going like yeah. Just screaming F off at us. Yeah. Or every time it stopped, and the whole crowd would turn around and go like, why is he doing that? And then you'd just be going, yeah, like, F off, man. Like, every single time.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, looking around going, why is he doing that? And then next thing you know, halfway through a song, a pint just comes flying at us, and it was Jimmy. This is literally one of my best mates. So that was Leeds. So I try not to invite Jimmy to too Amazing. Many of them. At least he can come, but he's got to be on a 4-pint limit because he gets a bit leery. Like after
tell you what, Jack, Jimmy, and yourself, Sam Fender. That's quite a threesome.
I'm the tame one. That's the thing. Like
I'm not.
Joke.
I'm not buying this nonsense.
Oh no, honestly, I'm the tame one. I mean, I'm the motor mouth. Like I'll chew your lugs off at 4 in the morning in the kitchen. Like, but I'll
Yeah.
But there, Jimmy's the. Jimmy's the real terror, like.
Sam, it's a pleasure to have you in.
Lovely to
meet you. We've been loving playing your music, by the way. And every single time we play one of your tunes, somebody gets in touch and says, what a tune that is.
I want to say thanks a lot, like, because every time I get in the car, It's playing on Radio X. Aye. And Dean always puts it on me guitarist, because he's playing it all the time. He's absolutely smashed that sound to pieces. Thank you so much.
Well, man. Sam, ride it till the wheels come off, my friend.
Well, I will do.
And you remember, there's always Jack waiting for you with Jimmy, with a pint and a fight. Cheers, Sam Fender. Right, we're going to play
actually
that.
A story about a pint and a fight with Jack and Jimmy, which I have got as well. Which was awful.
We'll keep it for the next time.
In a club called Mushroom.
That's exactly what I was hoping for from Sam Fender.
Rolling around on the floor trying to pull them both off other people. I was being the calm one. That's what I'm saying. They're the rascals. I'm the one I was being the bouncer that night.
Yeah. I'm not buying it, Sam.
Bunch of weapons.
I'm going to play that song you were just talking about. It's gone down brilliantly on Radio X. This is a live version of it recorded for us. Cheers for it, Sam. This is by the wonderful Sambert Fender.
Thanks, mate. Radio X.